from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Six Indonesian citizens who were hostage of armed groups in Benghazi, Libya for approximately 6 months have successfully released and repatriated by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The six Indonesian citizens were handed over to their families at Kantin Diplomasi, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Jakarta, on Monday, April 2, by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi. The minister mentioned that the six men work as cruise ship in Malta flag fish boat.
Pada hari ini, kami mewakili pemerintah Republik Indonesia.
Today we represent the Indonesian government to hand over Indonesian cruise ship who were hostage in Benghazi, Libya for at least 6 months to their families. I would like to mention that the hostage was occurred on September 23, 2017. The six Indonesian ship crews work at the Malta flag Salvatore 6 ship. They were captured by militia in Benghazi Sea, 72 miles from the mainland of Benghazi. Minister Retno Marsudi moreover added that the government had made various contacts to the ship owner and the families of the ship crews. The minister added that the process of the release of hostages was not easy since it is a conflict zone. The obstacles that arise not only on security but also political problem because Benghazi, which is 1,020 kilometers from the Libyan capital Tripoli, controlled by anti-government group. The release of the six Indonesian citizens, according to Minister Retno Marsudi, could not be separated from the cooperation made by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the State Intelligence Agency, and the Indonesian Embassy in Tripoli. National Flag Carrier Garuda Indonesia is preparing additional flights to deal with an anticipated increase in passengers to Denpasar, Bali, ahead of the International Monetary Fund IMF and World Bank annual meetings in Bali in October. Garuda Indonesia President Director Pahala Mansuri said in Denpasar, Bali recently, as reported by Antara News Agency, that its current capacity is enough to handle an influx of passengers. The airline was in talks with the government about opening additional flights to Bali, especially routes from cities in Northeast Asian countries. Garuda is also preparing to modify several flights to Bali. Some routes, Pahala said, such as Shanghai-Jakarta, Beijing-Jakarta, might still be needed, but the company can reroute them to make them stop in Denpasar first before they head to Jakarta. He also said the company was ready to assist meeting delegations looking to visit Indonesian tourist sites after the IMF World Bank meetings, adding that the airline had 202 Garuda and CityLink airplanes. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya previously said that flights the week before and after the meetings had been fully booked, and he believed airlines would be ready to handle an increase in air traffic to Bali. The Indonesian government has been forced to postpone the establishment of a state-owned oil and gas holding firm until at least April 26, following its inability to issue the needed deed of share transfer on time. The government initially intended to transfer its 57% stake in gas distributor PT Perusahaan Gas Negara PGN to Pertamina by the end of March in order to transform oil and gas giant Pertamina into a holding company. This plan was approved by PGN's shareholders during an extraordinary general shareholders meeting on January 25 under the condition that the government would issue within 2 months the government regulation and the deed of share transfer that would serve as the legal basis for such an action. This means the shareholders' approval is no longer valid after March 25, Indonesian President Joko Widodo then signed the government regulation in late February. However, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati had only signed the deed of share transfer on March 28, or 3 days after the deadline. Fajar Hari Sampurno, the state-owned enterprise ministry's undersecretary for mining, strategic industries, and media affairs, recently said that his ministry will have to ask for the approval of PGN shareholders once again during the company's annual shareholders meeting on April 26. The Indonesian government, through Indonesian Ministry of Trade, expressed hope that export of tea products would increase. The country's teas are renowned for having a high quality throughout the global market. Director of Export Product Development of Indonesian Trade Ministry, Ari Satria, made this remark recently in Jakarta, adding that during the period of 2012-2016, the value of Indonesian tea export decreased 8.08%. Some of the reasons for the decrease include the decline in global purchasing power and the decrease of the nation's tea plantation areas due to land conversions. Satria also said that Indonesia is considered to have high-quality tea and a distinctive aroma which is favored by the global community. In an effort to further exploit the potential of the Indonesian tea export market, businesses must be able to prepare effective management for the creation of additional value to product innovation. Indonesian Finance Ministry Sri Mulyani Indrawati has stressed that the government will not extend the period for filing tax returns SPT, although there were complaints over problems with the e-filing facility on the final day on Saturday. Sri Mulyani recently said in Jakarta that the government had given taxpayers 3 months since January, which was plenty of time for them to file their tax returns whether manually or electronically. She said that any extension would encourage taxpayers to always put off submitting their annual tax returns. Taxpayers who missed the March 31 deadline will subject to a fine of 100,000 rupiah or $7.27. Hestu Yoga Saksama added that the volume of tax returns had rise by 14% from last year's figure of more than 9 million. Sri Mulyani said that one way to avoid any problems would be for taxpayers to file their returns long before the deadline to avoid overloading the servers. She urges all taxpayers not to wait until the deadline. Next year, the ministry will run a public campaign on this again. She also noted that the ministry would continue to improve its network capacity. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Supreme Audit Agency BPK is officially assigned as the Secretariat of ASEAN Supreme Audit Institutions ASEAN SAI for the 2018-2023 period, which is located in Jalan Gatot Subroto, Central Jakarta. BPK RI head Mur Mahadi Surya Jayanegara when giving a speech in the inauguration ceremony on Monday at BPK Central Office Jakarta that BPK Indonesia is ready to facilitate all activities of ASEAN SAI programs and became the bridge in coordination between ASEAN sites and stakeholders or donor institutions. BBK was chosen by acclamation during senior officials meeting, which was held in Siem Reap, Cambodia on August 1st to 2nd, 2017. As the head of ASEAN Site Secretariat, Indonesian Supreme Audit Agency focuses on encouraging the capacity building of Supreme Audit institutions in ASEAN. Mur Mahadi Suryajanagara expected BBKRI as the place to discussing and sharing various strategic issues, including ASEAN Site strategic plans in 2018-2021, 2018-2019 work plans, and others. The ceremony at BBK office was then followed by a seminar involving several country members of ASEAN Site in Fairmont Hotel, Central Jakarta. The forum aimed to raise awareness of the importance of Sustainable Development Goals SDGs as to encourage the Transparency, Accountability and Anti-Corruption Act within the institution. The last item. Indonesian Environmental Affairs and Forestry Ministry is optimistic that the 2018 Asian Games to be free from haze. Raffles Brotestes Panjaitan, Director of Forest and Land Fire Control of the Ministry, said in Jakarta recently that the government has been doing its utmost to prevent forest fires. The regional government had declared a wildfire emergency status since February 1 to October 30, 2018. The government has learned from the 2015 forest fire disaster that had burned some 700,000 hectares of forest and plantation areas in five districts, according to him. Lately, he said forest fire accidents were categorized as small and could be extinguished immediately. This year, the South Sumatra government has targeted of having zero forest and plantation fire, particularly because the province and Jakarta will co-host the 18th ASEAN Games from August 18 to September 2nd. Panjaitan said other provinces such as Jambi, Riau, West Kalimantan, South Kalimantan, Aceh, and Papua have also stepped up vigilance against forest fire. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Foreign Ministry releases six Indonesian citizens from Benghazi to their families. Garuda prepares additional flights for International Monetary Fund World Bank meetings. Oil and gas holding firm establishment postponed until April 26. That was the news from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Bennett Filing Free Trial for Pujiti Suspect. Indonesian Supreme Court, MA, deserves being appreciated since it has issued a ban on fugitives listed on the People's Search List, or locally called DPO, to file a pretrial lawsuit. Supreme Court Circular No. 1-2018 dated on March 23, 2018 closes the fugitives' opportunity to file a pretrial. The letter also confirms that if a pretrial petition is still filed by the lawyer of a fugitive suspect, the judge does not accept it. The suspect also cannot file a legal action regarding the verdict. So far, people had often got very angry because many fugitives, especially corruptors, escape abroad. They file a pretrial through their lawyer or family. As a result, some of them win the pretrial. One of them is Sujiono Timan, convicted of corruption case at Bank Indonesian Liquidity Assistant that make the state money worth 1.2 trillion rupiah lost. He fled a few days before being convicted by the Supreme Court MA on a higher court with the sentence 15 years in prison. In his escape, Timan's wife filed a judicial review, and the Supreme Court accepted the judicial review on July 31, 2013. and Timan was free without attending the court. The judicial review is a legal effort which can be taken by a convicted person in a legal case against a court verdict that has permanent legal force within the judicial system in Indonesia. The court ruling, which has the permanent legal force, is the party of the district court that has not been filed an appeal, the verdict of Supreme Court, which is not appealed, the higher court or the higher verdict of the Supreme Court. The circular of the Supreme Court number 1/2018 that bans the fugitives to file a pretrial lawsuit should be appreciated by all circles. This is an appropriate step for law imposers to legally process the fugitives without being in absentia. A fugitive in exile could be file a pretrial and then he or she wins. Of course, this cannot be tolerated because it will make the concerned do anything. If this is allowed to occur, there will be inequality and even injustice because such persons are still given access to leeway. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, it started for anyone on April 2, 1946, when Amen Kubuwono X was born. Bendara Raden Mas Harjuno Darpito, or well-known Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X, was born in Yogyakarta on April 2, 1946. He has been a king of Yogyakarta Sultanate since 1989. And governor of Yogyakarta since 1998. Hamengkubuwono X was graduated from Law Faculty of Gadjah Mada University. The enthronement of Hamengkubuwono X as the king was conducted on March 7, 1989. He is active in various organizations and has held in various positions. In 2010, along with Surya Paloh, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X initiated to establish National Democratic Party or NASDEM. After Paku Alam VIII passed away in 1998, he was selected to be governor of Yogyakarta in the period 1998-2003. In his turn, Hamengkubuwono X was not accompanied by vice governor. In 2003, he was selected again as a governor of Yogyakarta for 2003-2008 period. This time, he is accompanied by vice governor Paku Alam IX. The next event was in 1982 when Argentina invaded Falkland Island. Falkland Island is an archipelago in the South Atlantic Ocean on the Patagonian Shelf. Its capital city is Stanley. The island was disputed by Argentina, which named Islas Malvinas in the Spanish language. The name was taken from French Isles Malouines when fishermen from Saint Malo occupied Falkland in a short time. The island was categorized 16 regions of colonization in the world by the UN Decolonization Committee. Since 18th century, the island was always in dispute until 19th century. To seize Falkland, Argentina established legal colony in 1820, and in 1829 integrated Luis Felnet as governor. Great Britain seized again the island in 1833, but Argentina did not want to release its claimed. A number of tensions caused Argentina to attack the island on April 2, 1982, but Great Britain succeeded to seize it again. And the last event was in 2005 when Pope John Paul II passed away. Pope Saint John Paul II, born with the name Karol Josef Wojtyla, served as Pope of a Catholic Church and Sovereign of Vatican City from 1978 to 2005. He is called Saint John Paul the Great by some Catholics. He was selected by the Second Papal Conclave of 1978, which was called after Pope John Paul I, who had been elected in August to succeed Pope Paul VI. Pope Saint John Paul II passed away after 33 days. Cardinal Paul Wojtyla was elected on the third day of the conclave and adopted his predecessor's name in the tribute to him. John Paul II is recognized as helping to end communist rule in his native Poland and eventually all of Europe. John Paul II significantly improved the Catholic Church relations with Judaism, Islam, and the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Anglican Communion. He upheld the Church teachings in such manner as artificial contraception and the ordination of women, but also supported the Church Second Vatican Council and its reforms. Pope Saint John Paul II was passed away on April 2, 2005. Well, listener, that was Student History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome to My Indonesia. In today's edition, the topic to be discussed is that Indonesia, Bangladesh to strengthen cooperation in industrial sector. Indonesia and Bangladesh have excellent bilateral relations, especially in terms of strengthening cooperation in industrial sector. This is evident from the value of trade between the two countries. In 2014, the value reached $1.38 billion, and this increased to $1.65 billion in 2017. Indonesian main export commodities to Bangladesh include crude palm oil, trains and its components, and paper. Meanwhile, the largest import of goods from Bangladesh is yarn. This was disclosed by Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto at the 47th Independence Day celebration of Bangladesh in Jakarta on Monday. On the occasion, Minister Airlangga, representing the Governor of Indonesia, expressed his appreciation for Bangladesh that has tarsit PT Industri Kereta Api or PT INKA to support the development of Bangladesh connectivity. The railway industry company gradually sends 400 train cars to Bangladesh. The cooperation between PT INKA and Bangladesh Railway in the purchase of railway cars has been signed since 2017. This will be a milestone of various improvements in cooperation between the two sides in the future. In addition, Minister Airlangga also said that PT JAPTA Confit Indonesia plans to establish a new factory in Bangladesh that will focus on producing animal feed products. This indicates the stretching of national industry that is able to invest and expand overseas, while also showing its competitiveness in global level. He said that in the future, such cooperation will be directed to establish joint ventures in machinery and maintenance components, as well as technical cooperation or capacity building of Bangladesh employment. He believes that the opportunities for cooperation between the two countries are still very wide and promising, remembering that there is huge potential of economic growth in Indonesia and Bangladesh. Minister Airlangga Hartarto also said that Indonesia has a large market and a lot of workforce. The government of Indonesia continues to create conducive investment climate as well as provide convenience for industry players to run their business. Meanwhile, Bangladesh Ambassador to Indonesia Asmal Kabir said that Bangladeshi government is very pleased to partner with Indonesia in a hope that the bilateral relations will increase in the future. He expressed his appreciation to Indonesian President Joko Widodo, who visited Bangladesh and met with Bangladeshi Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina. Ambassador Asmal also stated that besides holding bilateral meeting, President Joko Widodo also visited Rohingya refugees. The arrival of President Joko Widodo to Cox's Bazar also coincided with the provision of assistance from Indonesia in the form of food and medicine. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Six Indonesian citizens who were hostage of armed groups in Benghazi, Libya, for approximately 6 months, have successfully released and repatriated by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. National Flag Carrier Garuda Indonesia is preparing additional flights to deal with an anticipated increase in passengers to Denpasar, Bali, ahead of the International Monetary Fund (IMF) and World Bank annual meetings in Bali in October. The Indonesian government has been forced to postpone the establishment of a state-owned oil and gas holding firm until at least April 26, following its inability to issue the needed deed of share transfer on time. The Indonesian government, through Indonesian Ministry of Trade, expressed hope that export of tea products would increase. The country's teas are renowned for having a high quality throughout the global market. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati has stressed that the government will not extend the period for filing tax returns SPT, although there were complaints over problems with the e-filing facility on the final day on Saturday. The Indonesian Supreme Audit Agency BPK is officially assigned as the Secretariat of ASEAN Supreme Audit Institutions for the 2018-2023 period, which is located in Jalan Gatot Subroto, Sentul, Jakarta. Indonesian Environmental Affairs and Forestry Ministry is optimistic that the 2018 Asian Games to be free from haze. Raffles Brotestes Panjaitan, Director of Forest and Land Fire Control of the Ministry, said in Jakarta recently that the government has been doing its utmost to prevent forest fires. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Tiban Dance in East Java. Stay tuned. Listener, Indonesia, which consists of different tribes and cultures, has ritual to call rain. Take for example, in East Java, especially in Trenggalek, Blitar, Kediri and Tulung Agung, people have Tiban ritual or Tiban dance, which is believed to be able to make the rain fall. The word of Tiban comes from Tiba in Javanese language, means fall. Tiban means that something appears which cannot be expected before. In this regard, Tiban indicates the rain which falls suddenly from the sky. The dance is folk dance from generation to generation, which is part of culture of local people. Tiban dance is prayer to the god to call the rain. Behind the ritual of dance, there is a hoping meaning, a noble message for natural preservation. Listener, Tiban Dance was performed for the first time in the era of Kediri Kingdom, when paddy barn of village began to decrease due to long dry season. People considered it as a curse for unbelief and unfaithfulness to the god. Then, Demang, or head of village, deliberates with the elder to get advice and opinion to compensate the curse. The villagers gave there a little treasure to be used as requirement of the implementation of traditional ceremony. Then, they communicate with the power of supernatural and beg for forgiveness and continued by torturing and sunbathing under the sun. The self-torture was by using a wipe made of stick of palm leaf midrib. This ritual procession took the form of mutual weeping between the participants of the ritual. Listener, Tiban Dance consists of two groups, and it is led by one referee or called landang. The dance is accompanied with gamelan. Tiban Dance is still conducted until now, although the dance has different function from religious media to become entertainment. Being appropriate with development, the Tiban Dance procession is conducted not only on the field but also on the stage. The regional government of Kediri determined that the implementation of time of dance is every one suro in Javanese calendar. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Tiban Dance from East Java. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is membeli tiket, or in English means buying a ticket. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about membeli tiket, or in English, buying a ticket. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation between a keeper of ticket counter and Tony at the domestic tourist ticket counter of Prambanan Temple.
Punya KTP?
KTP? Apa itu?
Kartu tanda penduduk. Kartu identitas untuk warga negara Indonesia.
Oh, saya tidak punya.
Kalau begitu, loket wisatawan asing ada di sana.
Listener, after we listen to the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies, idioms, and sentences related to the topic today about membeli tiket, or in English, buying a ticket. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Wisatawan asing. Wisatawan asing, in English, foreign tourist. Kartu identitas. Kartu identitas, in English, identity card. Apa itu? Apa itu? In English, what is it? Warga negara Indonesia. Warga negara Indonesia, in English, Indonesian citizen. In the Indonesian language, if you do not know about meaning of words in spoken language, you can ask, as Tony said in the conversation, apa itu KTP? Apa itu KTP? In English, what is KTP? Another example, if you do not know about the meaning of wisatawan asing, in English, foreign tourist, you can say, apa itu wisatawan asing? Apa itu wisatawan asing? In English, what is foreign tourist? If you also do not know the meaning of SIM or surat izin mengemudi or driving license, you can say, apa itu SIM? Apa itu SIM? In English, what is SIM? Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Punya KTP?
KTP? Apa itu?
Kartu tanda penduduk, kartu identitas untuk warga negara Indonesia.
Oh, saya tidak punya.
Kalau begitu, loket wisatawan asing ada di sana.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please say your name, your address, and your favorite food. For example, selamat pagi, nama saya Tina. Saya berasal dari Indonesia. Makanan kesukaan saya nasi goreng. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner. Today we will present you two Kroncong songs by Bram Aceh. And, well, listener, to initiate today's Music Corner, let's listen to a Kroncong song entitled Mawar Sekuntum by Bram Aceh. Thank you.
The song Mawar Sekuntum is the original Kroncong song. Mawar Sekuntum describes a beautiful woman. The lyrics in the song are written using poetic words. Bilakah kuncup mawar indah mekar? Lama sudah aku menanti, ingin memetik sekuntum. Dikala cahaya senja kemerah-merahan, tertiup angin pasang merayu kesuma. Or, when will the beautiful roses bloom? I'll wait for it patiently, the time to pick it, in the light of dusk, etc. The original Kroncong songs Mawar Sekuntum has also been sung by many singers, including Bram Aceh. The singer has a strong vocal character. His ability to sing various genres of song especially Kronchong songs has been known all over the archipelago, even in some neighboring countries. Bram Aceh was also known as the father of Indonesian Kronchong. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Di Bawah Sinar Bulan Purnama. The song Di Bawah Sinar Bulan Purnama by Bram Aceh. The song tells us about how beautiful of the night when the full moon shines. The beauty can even remove the feeling of sadness or misery. The song Di Bawah Sinar Bulan Purnama was composed by R. Maladi, former Minister of Information and State Minister of Youth and Sport in the 60s era. Listener, Bram Aceh was born in Banda Aceh on March 4, 1913, with the real name of Abraham Titali. Since he was born and grew up there, Bram was eventually known as Bram Aceh. Bram Aceh's career in Indonesia Kronchong music began when he moved to Jakarta in 1930s. At that time, Pram became a kroncong singer at Pasar Gambir, or a night market, or the Queen's Day, which was held to honor and celebrate the coronation of the Dutch Queen Wilhelmina. In 1934, Bram managed to make his first vinyl record. In 1955, Bram Aceh won the Kroncong Jakarta Raya contest. Then Bram Aceh often appeared in various kroncong performances in tourism attractions and some big hotels in Jakarta. Besides Indonesia, Bram Aceh also had time to sing in Tong Tong Night Market, Den Haag, Netherlands, in 1981 and 1982. Then on May the 8th, 2001, Bram Aceh passed away in Jakarta due to the age factor. However, his talent and singing habits are revealed to his grandchildren who follow his footsteps in the music world, such as Harvey Maliholo, Irma June, and Glenn Fredly. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Tanah Airku and Terkenang-kenang by Bram Aceh. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Sungai-sungai menari.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.